I want to read from God's word. We're going to read from John chapter 6. And I want to just read from verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Now, there's 71 verses in John 6, so it would take too long for us to read it tonight. But I want to just read a short portion from John chapter 6, reading from verse 35. Let's hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which have sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 51. And I would commend John chapter 6 to you. In fact, maybe I could just throw this out at you. If you are a young Christian, and maybe you've just recently trusted Christ, and you're wondering where should I start reading in the Bible? Well, when I became a young Christian at the age of 18, I was given the advice to start in John's Gospel. And I would recommend that gospel to you at this time. Now we're going to have a little prayer together, and then I'm going to share some thoughts with you on the subject for this evening. Let's just have prayer. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for Samuel leading the meeting tonight. Thank you for these lovely choruses and hymns that we've sung by way of praise unto thee. And that was told us in thy word, praise ye the Lord. And I want to thank you for the young people here in the studio who've come just to do that tonight. And O God, we say unto thee from our hearts that we love to sing of Christ our King. And we ask thee this evening that thou will accept of our thanks even for the offering of praise. For thou hast said, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Help the young people to reason and understand tonight that they've glorified thee by offering their praise from their hearts. And we ask thee that the fruit of our lips and the adoration of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight even now. We thank you for the reading of the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for the subject, I am the bread of life. And we pray that we'll learn something tonight out of thy word and we'll be blessed and strengthened in our soul. Hear and answer prayer this evening. Plead the cleansing, covering power of the blood and ask thee to undertake for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now my text tonight is taken from John 6 and verse 35. So you know the text. It says, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And my theme this evening is to consider these words, I am the bread of life. Now, John 6:35 is the first of the seven I am statements recorded in John's gospel. And if you do come to the opening of the new church building in Carriduff, when it's eventually opened, you will see the stained glass window there in the tower, and it's got the seven symbols of the seven statements of the seven I ams in John's gospel. Now I want you to think of the context. As John chapter 6, we find the Lord Jesus preaching to a hungry multitude. And as he finishes his message, he is conscious that they're in need of food for their bellies. Rather than send them away, because there was no chip shops or pizza huts in those days, he does something that only God himself could do. He got them to sit down in the grass. And the number was about 5,000 men. And of course there was women there, and there's children. We know that from another scripture. And he took a boy's lunch, 5 little barley loaves, 2 tiny fishes, I'm not sure what size they were, maybe only a few inches long, and he fed a multitude of about 15,000 people. Now, where do I get 15,000 people? If there was 5,000 men, besides women and children, we're supposing that one man had his wife with him, or his girlfriend. And then we're allowing for the man and woman to have a child or a young person with them. Because the Bible talks about when he fed the 4,000, that there was 4,000 men besides women and children. So I'm supposing, and using a bit of logic, that if there was 5,000 men, there had to be women and young people in that company. Now, after all the people were filled and satisfied, he then did something profound. He sent his disciples round to gather up the bits that were left over. And they took with them a basket each, 12 disciples. They had 12 baskets between them, and the 12 baskets were filled with the fragments that remained. So nothing was lost. Now this remarkable miracle served as a glorious illustration of Christ himself as the bread of life. And this was a new portrait of the Lord Jesus that they had never heard before. One that was truly profound. And yet beautifully simple at the same time. Now think about bread for a moment. Bread, of course, is a substance that's known throughout the world. It's used by every society and culture and tribe on the face of the earth. Bread is a substance that is consumed by everyone throughout the entire world. It's one of the foods that is tolerable, probably for most digestive systems. A food that's good for you. A food that looks nice and smells good, especially when it's freshly baked. And a food that all people need. And a food that most people enjoy. And we think about our toast. And of course, we're toasting bread and we're putting butter and jam or honey or marmalade or whatever you have with your toast. Some people eat dry toast. Some people eat burnt toast. But anyway, bread is a food that all people need. And most people enjoy. It has a unique, satisfying quality about it that very few products in the market have. Now tonight, I want us to think for a very short time about these words of the Lord Jesus. And I want to ask you to consider this. Why did the Lord Jesus say at this time, after the feeding of the 5,000, I am the bread of life? And not only why did he say it, but what did he mean? I want you to understand, he said in verse 35, I'm the bread of life. He said in verse 48, and we read it together, I am that bread of life. And again in 51, he said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And basically, here's the simple answer of why he said it. Jesus Christ is what the whole world needs. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can fully satisfy all who partake of him by simple faith. And the reality is that everyone who does partake of Christ as the bread of life has a life of inner satisfaction and true peace and joy in their soul. So we're thinking tonight of a simple text, the first I am statement. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. So you know the text and you know the theme. So nobody has to go away and say, well, I don't know what the text was. So when mommy asks you, young people, you'll be able to say, it was John 6:35. And what did the man say? He talked about the bread of life, mommy. And you'll remember this now. That's the theme. Now, three things. I want you to think of the personality of the living bread. Now, that's the first thought. You see, notice the words, I am. And we'll stop there. And if you look at verse 35, and verse 48, and verse 51, you'll see those words. I am. Three times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus said, I am. Three in biblical numerics is the number of complete witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. And when you read something three times in a very short space of time, I want you to understand that something profound is being said. Because I believe the Lord Jesus was saying something really profound. Now, why don't you listen to me? I believe it was a statement of self-existence. I am. You see, that word I am was first used in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Moses is at the burning bush. He asked God his name. And this is what God said by way of reply. I am that I am. It's one of the names of God as the living and the true God. A God who is self-existent and self-eternal. The one who's eternally and always present. And you know what the Lord Jesus was saying when he said, I am? He was saying, I'm Jehovah. He's saying, I'm God in the flesh. He's taking the name of God. And he's saying, I am God. And you see, the Jews there that heard the Lord Jesus, they fully knew the import of those words. They knew he's saying, I am Jehovah. I am God. The words are profoundly relevant. The living and the true bread is not only a person with a personality, but the living and the true bread is God in the flesh. Now, when you're asked the question, well, who is the Lord Jesus? Or who is Jesus? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a profound teacher. He's not just a miracle worker. Young people, he's not even a good man. Although he was. He went about doing good. He's not only a great man. The greatest that ever lived. He's not only a gracious man. Because the Bible says, never man speak like this man. I want you to understand tonight. This is very important. We were singing about it there. In Samuel's hymns and choruses. Jesus Christ is the God man. So if somebody asks you, who is he? You can say, well, and here's one of the statements that proves it. I am the bread of life. I am God. I am Jehovah. Wait a minute. Not used with these things, Stephen. Sorry. Okay? Now, remember this text. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And I have to tell you something. That's why I was so upset by Greg's advert. And I have no problem with Greg's the baker, but they produced an advert, a calendar, and one of the pictures in the calendar showed the nativity scene, and instead of the baby Jesus, they took the baby Jesus out, and they put a sausage roll with a bite out of it in place of baby Jesus. And I said at the time, although I was at a funeral and I couldn't get to the phone, although BBC was phoning me and asked me to come on and speak about that, that was sacrilegious. That was mockery. It might have been a clever advertising ploy by Griggs the baker. And it might have been a clever strategy to get airtime and publicity for the bakery. But to poke fun at the Lord Jesus Christ was really sacrilegious because they've forgotten completely who he is and who he was. The living bread, young people, is not a system. It's not a code of ethics. It's not a religious rule. It's not even tied into one church, let it be Presbyterian or Free Presbyterian or Baptist. It's not tied into a denomination, and I'm not knocking denominations. God bless you wherever you come from. I love you in the Lord, and I say that sincerely. But the living bread is a person. The living bread has a personality. And the living bread is not just any person with any personality. The living bread is God in the flesh. It's God's only begotten Son. The one whom we profess to love and adore and serve and cherish and obey today. The only one who can save. The only one who satisfies. The only one who can secure us in life's journey. And I want you to hear this, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I challenge you with the words that was said to Martha and Mary whenever Lazarus died. Believest thou this? So I just don't want you to hear, but I want you to believe in your heart that this is true. Who is the Lord Jesus? He's God in the flesh. And I want you to adhere to that truth. No matter who says, oh, he's only a prophet. Oh, he's only a miracle worker. Oh, he's only this or that. No, he's the God man. The doctrine of the incarnation is very important. In fact, I would go as far as saying that you can't actually be a true Christian if you don't believe in the doctrine of the incarnation and the virgin birth of Christ. And I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. So there's the first thing from the living bread. If we're going to learn anything tonight, learn this. The personality of the living bread. He's a person with a personality. Is God in the flesh. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. I watch the clock. The presentation of the living bread. You see, the Lord Jesus, remember, is making this statement on the back of performing the miracle of feeding the multitude with the loaves and fishes. And the actual miracle itself, the provision of bread, was a picture portrait of Christ himself as the only one who cared for and provides for and satisfies the true and real needs of men and women. And if it's true in the first century, it's equally true in the 21st century. Let me explain. In the presentation of the living bread, I want you to understand that the living bread is profound. Think of these words. I am the living bread. And underline the word living. What's the Lord Jesus saying? He's saying this. I am the source and the meaning of life. He's communicating something to us of a fuller understanding of the true meaning and source of life. If you think of the secret here that he says, look at John 6 and 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. Now I'm going to throw out a question. You're young, but you can think, you've got brains, you've switched on, it's Saturday night, you haven't switched off yet. What is the secret of happiness as far as life's journey is concerned? You see, we get people in the religious world, like, for example, the Dalai Lama. You've heard of the Dalai Lama from Tibet or India. I think it's Tibet, right? And we're going to ask him, Mr. Dalai Lama, what's the secret of life? And he's going to say to us, oh, the key to life is inner peace. The key to life is happiness. The key to life is being happy. Wonderful philosophy, son. What does it mean? Where do we find this happiness? Do we find it in meditation? Yoga? Do we find it in our own inner personal resources? The answer is no. And I'll tell you why. Because the same Jesus that said, I am the living bread, said this, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Now that's important. You see, what does the Dalai Lama say to somebody who feels suicidal? Did you know that there was 296 suicides in Northern Ireland this year already? 296 in Northern Ireland. Many of them young people took their own life. What does he say to someone facing death? Or coping with an illness when they're told by the doctor you've got cancer and you've only weeks or maybe a few years to live? Well, what does he say to the drug addict who's injecting himself with heroin?
What does he say to the drunkard who's just life is consumed by the chain of alcohol? What does he say to someone who's thoroughly depressed? Be happy. But where do you find happiness? Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Remember the Bible tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, the Lord Jesus is a realist. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Underline the word hunger and underline the word thirst, because the Lord Jesus knows that he himself has come into a fallen world, a world of physical and spiritual hunger, a world of physical and spiritual thirst, a world where that is completely different to the world that the Lord Jesus has just come from, because the Lord Jesus has come from heaven and now here he is and he's living on earth. I want you to think of the living bread as profound. Many tonight have an inner craving for peace. They want satisfaction. But they live in a world of sin, a world of profound calamities, a world of annoyances, a world of vice and corruption, a world where there's war and trouble. You see, it's a fallen world, a world full of immorality, a world that's subject to sin and death and judgment. And the message simply can't be happy, or even, for that matter, be holy. No, the word has to be, I am the living bread. So when you live your life, when you face death, when you think about your soul and you think about eternity, then we begin to understand the Lord Jesus has been true to the stuff of life. Physical and spiritual hunger. Physical and spiritual thirst. And what's he saying? Come to me. Believe in me. Why? Because I am the bread of life. I am the living bread. The Lord Jesus is the true bread. The only bread that really satisfies. That gives the inner peace. That provides the true happiness. I want you to notice quickly. The living bread is prepared. Think of the word bread. Take a little seed. Sown into the ground, comes a blade of grass. It grows up then into an ear of wheat. When it's ripe, it's cut down. It's cut down, it's bruised, it's broken, it's battered, it's ground into flour, and it's kneaded together, and then it's baked in the oven, and after it's baked in the oven, you have a lovely loaf of bread. And I want to tell you, there's no smell, if there's any bakers here, there's no smell like the smell of a lovely, fresh loaf of bread. It's fully baked and prepared, then there's nothing that satisfies your hunger like it. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was implanted as a tiny embryo in the womb of the Virgin Mary. In the fullness of time, he was born a child, just like you were born. Then he grew up and became a teenager. He grew up and became a man. When he was 30, he started his ministry. And at the age of 33, a fully grown man, he was cut down. That's a reference to his death in Mount Calvary. And remember the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And on the tree, the Lord Jesus did something that was profound. He bore the wrath of God in his own body in the tree. Like the bread, he was placed into the oven of God's wrath. And God's wrath was poured out upon him. Until he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when you think of Christ on the cross, I want you to think of him as a substitute. He took my place. He died for me. I want you to think of him as a sin offering. He was bearing the wrath of God. I want you to think of him as a sin bearer, for he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. I want you to think of him as a surety, paying the debt that he owed to the broken law, because the law had been broken, and he had come to fulfill the law and fulfill its penalty. All that he could become our Savior. We're coming up to Christmas. Thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The Bible tells us, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. The Bible tells us who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the living bread is not only profound, young people. It has to do with the source and meaning of life. But it's also prepared. Notice something else very quickly in the presentation. The living bread is procured. See, the bread's offered. It has to be taken. by a conscious act taken by yourself. It's got to be appropriated. He that cometh, you have to do something. He that believeth. See, before the bread can be enjoyed, it has to be received. And what's true with the bread is true with the living bread. Before you can enjoy the living bread that Jesus is, the source and meaning of life, you must receive Christ. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And I want to ask a question to you. If you're here and you haven't yet received the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, let me give you this wee illustration. Suppose you're invited to the Christmas dinner and somebody pays the £18 or the £15 or the £21 for you. And you're handed a plate full there of your Christmas dinner. All right? And you say, let's say Stephen gives it to you. You say, thank you, Stephen. Looks lovely. And you're sitting there and you're looking at it and you're eyeing it up and down. And you're sitting there and everybody else is eating. They're taking the food in. You're sitting looking at it. It's not going to do any good. You see, there has to be a partaking of the meal. You've got to eat what's on the plate. And you've got to do it yourself. Nobody's going to spoon feed you. And nobody can eat it for you. You've got to take it for yourself. And that's exactly the same about the bread. See, that's the way God's salvation works. The Savior, as the living bread, has to be received by faith. I could tell you a story about a Muslim girl. She grew up in a Muslim world and a Muslim home. And she went away to university. I think she was studying biology. And she was looking at microcells through a microscope one day. And she began to question whether this microcell was a product of random chance or not, or whether it really had a designer and a creator behind it. And of course, she began to question then her Muslim beliefs. And over time, in university, she became an agnostic. And she abandoned her Muslim faith. And she tried a bit of Hinduism. And she tried Buddhism. And she tried Turkish religion. And she tried atheism for a time, the belief that there's no God. And in the process of time, she was sent to the United States of America. The first time she came into contact with a true Christian, a real believer. And that young girl found Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. A young girl of 25. And once she came to know the Lord Jesus as her personal Savior, and that was, I think it was about the 6th of February, 1993, having asked Christ into her heart, she discovered that there's evidence for creation, that there's evidence for design, there's evidence that God deals with us providentially, that there's evidence about Christ as the Son of God in the Bible, and there's even evidence from archaeology. And once their eyes were opened, then she began to see a profound difference to all the religions of the world. There's a little verse that comes to mind, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to taste and see for yourself. Maybe you're a young person growing up, maybe in your home there's some people who are skeptical, and they tell you, oh, there's no God, or how could you believe in a God that you can't see, and you don't know the answer. Well, this is something that you can say to them. You've got to taste and see for yourself. How do you know an orange is sweet? How do you know that bread is good? How do you know that slice of steak that you're eating is really tasty? Unless you're partaking of it yourself. So it's the same with God's salvation. It has got to be partaken of. You've got to taste and see. And then you can experience for yourself. One final thing. We've thought about the personality of the living bread. We've thought about the presentation of the living bread. It's profound. It's bread that's been prepared. And it's bread that has got to be procured by yourself. I want you to think of this as we finish. The performance of the living bread. What does the bread do? When Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, he was really saying, I have the power to save you. I have the power alone to satisfy you. I have the power to sustain you. I have the power to secure you on life's journey. Because I want you to think of these thoughts as we finish. The sufficiency of the bread. You see, the bread is a staple part of the food chain all over the world. Men and women can't survive without bread. Just like you can't survive without bread, you can't live and die without Jesus Christ. Because only in Jesus Christ have you got real life and true life. Remember he said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. He said, if you die in your sins where I am, there you cannot be. In other words, Jesus Christ alone is sufficient for all the needs of men and women, young people, throughout the world. And just as bread is a staple part of the food chain all over the world, and men who partake of that enjoy that bread, so no man can survive without Christ, the bread of life. As far as life is concerned, with source and meaning, and as far as being prepared to die and face the eternity. I want you to think also of the singularity of the bread. He says, I am the bread of life. I am. That's a claim to exclusivity. In other words, it's not Confucius as a slice, or Buddha as a slice, or Muhammad as one slice of the bread. No, it's I am the bread of life. I alone. I exclusively. See, and I know that that's not politically correct today. I know that it's probably not even what is fashionable. But we've got to go what Jesus said. I am the bread of life. A man in China called Jonathan Goforth, who was a missionary, he was preaching week after week on the same theme, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And a Chinese man came up to him one day and said to him, why do you always preach on Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Jonathan Goforth says, what did you have for lunch today? And he said, rice. What did you have lunch for yesterday? Oh, rice. What do you have tomorrow for lunch? He says, I'll have rice. He said, so you had lunch today, you had lunch yesterday, and you had lunch tomorrow, or you're expecting lunch tomorrow, and you're going to have rice. Yes. Man says, well, I can't live without rice. John Goforth says this, what rice is to the body, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is to the soul. The singularity of the bread. I want you to think also very quickly, and I'll just run through this, the sign of the bread. Because in John 6, there was mention made by the Jews of the manna. Remember the manna in the Old Testament that the children of Israel ate for almost 40 years under Joshua and Moses. The Jews requested from Christ a miracle. Christ reminded them of the Old Testament manna. And they said, Moses gave us that manna. And he said, no, it was my Father. He provided the manna. And the manna is really a type of Christ. Now let me just run down. The manna was small, and that was a symbol of Christ's humility. Remember, he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in Bethlehem's manger in a stinking stable with some feet to draw for animals. The manna was round, and you've got to think of eternality. Christ in His eternal nature, who He is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Did you know the manna was white in colour? That's a symbol of Christ's purity. He was sinless. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In Him was no sin. The holy nature of Christ comes to the fore. Did you know the manna came at night? The Lord Jesus was born at night. Think of the shepherds in the field while shepherds watched their flocks by night. The Lord Jesus came into a world that's lost in spiritual darkness and in spiritual declension and sin. Did you know the manna was misunderstood? So was the Lord Jesus. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Who is He? They kept asking. Did you know the manna was sufficient for the needs of all who collected it? And Christ is the all-sufficient Savior that meets the needs of every man who receives Him, or girl who receives Him by faith. Did you know the manna was sweet? The Lord Jesus is sweet. He's not just a Savior, young people. Do you know what Solomon said? He was the wisest man that ever lived. This is my beloved. This is who I love. This is my friend. He's not just a Savior. He's not just the Lord. He's not just the King of Kings. He's the one that we can love. He's the one who can be our best friend. There's a brother that loveth at all times, and a friend is born for adversity. And the greatest friend of all is the Lord Jesus. Did you know the manna was shared by others? It was collected by the family, and it was shared throughout the family. And we can share the Lord Jesus. We can tell others about him, how wonderful and great he is. Think of this as we finish, the sending of the bread. The bread was sent, the living bread, the bread of life was sent by the Father to this earth. And the Lord Jesus as the living bread was sent to meet us at the point of our need. The bread was sent, just like the manna was sent. It's also satisfying bread. Just as bread satisfies your hunger, so the Lord Jesus can satisfy us. We can enjoy him. And one final thought, the suitability of the bread. Here's what the bread does. It's not only sufficient to meet our need. It's not only singular in the sense that it's exclusive. It's not only a sign linking into the manna. It was not only sent by the Father and satisfies the soul. You think of how suitable the bread is. People all over the world eat bread, different types of bread, but it's all bread. Even in India, you can get naan bread. In China, you can get rice bread. My wife says it's very nice. I've never been to China, but she has. Here in Northern Ireland, you get white bread and brown bread and whatever other type of bread you want. But all classes, all colors, all creeds eat bread. Bread is the stuff of life. It's suitable for all people. And the Lord Jesus is presented to all, to everyone. And he'll become the Savior and friend of everyone who takes him to be their Savior and Lord. And I just close with that thought. If you think of these words, I am the bread of life, what does that really mean? As you're here as a young Christian, you think of the personality of the living bread. The God-man is saying this. You also think of the presentation. Why did he say it? He's really saying, I'm the source and meaning of life. If you want to be happy and holy, and you want to be healthy, then I'm the living bread. And you think of how the bread was prepared. You think of the preparation that went into sending Christ. You think of the bread being procured, has to be partaken of. And ask yourself, am I partaking of Christ? You think of what the bread does, how the bread satisfies. How the bread sustains. How the bread's a sign of Christ. How the bread is sent. How the bread is suitable. You can thank God tonight that you know something of the bread of life. May the Lord bless you.